acting out before. I just realized half this room has never heard me speak before. I guess that could be for the half of you that have never heard me before. That's a real bruch on each of your lives that you haven't had to hear me before. But you know, it gets me so nervous with such a scholar here. You know, he likes the Ian, as he was telling Rav Chagai, and you know, all the other wise individuals that we have in our presence. Rav Allen asked me to speak about a little bit what happens after yeshiva. So we'll talk about it. I tried finding out how long this program is for. No one seemed to know. Maybe I asked the Leva Chayal guys, so they're not a part of the program. Like every day, I should have just got the trap. He would have given me all the proper answers. But instead, when you go to the chevra that doesn't know anything, you end up getting the results of asking a chevra that doesn't know anything. Okay. A lot is made out of what goes on in your time in yeshiva. It's so important. Now, one of my roles is that I do meet with guys. So I guess technically I have some vested interest in what goes on while they're here. But I've always cared more for what happens post facto for a few reasons. Number one, it sort of is my job. And not only that, but also at the end of the day, no one's really impressed if a guy is yapping your head off for a year. Where's the money for Svarim? And then, like, 2 years later, wouldn't even know what a Sefer is. So no one's impressed by that. No one cares about that. We had an alumni here 5 years ago. I'm not exaggerating when I say this. He happened to come here for the Purim Seudah. That was one of the only times I saw him all year. I'm really, like, I feel confident to say this. He logged under, like, 300 hours in the year in the base medrash. Like, it had to have been. And then post facto, he tells me, like, one day, like, yo, Rabbi, you dude, never guess what happened, man. I'm like, you got high and impregnated a woman? He's like, no, but almost. I finished Bava Kamma. I'm like, whoa, that's sick, man. You finished Bava Kamma. That's amazing. And it didn't matter what he did when he was in here. I mean, it did to an extent, but the fact of what he was doing after. So, you know, I don't think there's anyone here who picks on me when I say the word Shana Bet, but apparently I'm not allowed to distinguish between Shanav and Shana Bet, which gets me going crazy. Well, now we know, Malcolm. Now like the Chevra who can't hear it, they don't come Thursdays. It's only the guys who can actually hear it. So now, like, you know, it's always like I can say whatever I need to say. And I don't feel like, you know, I have to actually be restrained and, you know, care about what gets posted on YU Torah. But So we're gonna discuss as we're getting to that point. Many of you are leaving so soon. It's gonna bring tears. ECAS meet leaving next Thursday. And I've already prepared my Ethan Kaplan, Tubbs, Bubs, Rubs, Hubs. I've already prepared my tears. It's sad, but also it's very exciting. It's very exciting to see what has happened over one's time here and as they're getting ready for the next stage. Avi Frogel asked me last year, when do you get fed up of talking about Minyan? I feel like it's been a lot less this year. But last year is all I talked about. It's like, when did it, like, reach a boiling point? I'm like, I think when people start doing it. So probably never. I'll probably never read. I think it's Rechana starting Mincha at 1, which had me reach that point where I didn't have to talk about it because I started having people at Mincha. And that was able to. And since that's the only Minyan I daven here, I think Minyan and Leva Torah is, like, on par with, like, Mir and Brisk. I think it's super, super important. What?
Serious.
I didn't see a word again. I just said Minyan. It's super, super important when one leaves that they have structure. When I meet alumni in America, I'm not so into, like, being so flexible like my schedule for other people. So if I need to have Mincha at 1:30, you want to meet at 1:15, that's great. But we're also going to Mincha because I'm not figuring out later in the day how I'm going to daven. But I also take so another reason I'll take the alumni might be I don't think he's going to daven otherwise, so I think it's good for that. But most importantly, I want them to know what structure is. I used to go to this Musar Vod, and this guy, Rabbi Jacobson, and he used to always talk about how you have to know where you're going to daven. Like, it can't just be a, like, you know, some of you will go back to areas where it's not like there's no such thing as minion factories. So, like, there's like one minion that's like within, you know, whatever. But you guys okay there? But like there could be like locations where like me, I'm imagining like in Providence, like it's not like there's not every 15 minutes another minion. I'm imagining. I could be wrong, but I'm imagining that's the case. But if you get to like Woodmere, it's a lot easier to be able to find minyan. As Jacobson said, you have to know when you're going to daven. You have to know which minion you're going to daven, because logically, if you keep pushing it off, if you keep delaying, you end up missing. But also, it puts a whole structure in your day. My day is, I'm davening at X time. Obviously, if something happens and you don't daven, you don't say, okay, fine, I missed it, so I'm not going to daven. That'd be called being stupid. That's not something one should do. But to have a real structure, and to really understand that when you look around, like, you'll get back, when you get back to America, a few things you'll notice is you have these Baal Batim who have never missed Minyan. Baal Batim are people who work for a living. They've never missed Minyan, and they also never come late. And then you see all these people who are quote unquote really from, who have never been at a Shacharis for either one of the two Ashrays, and you start to get a little confused what exactly is going on. But it's because these older people who we look at, oh, they're not so from, but really are like incredibly, incredibly from and incredibly devoted to their Shem. They have structure in their day, and it's super, super important. There was a story I once heard. We tell a lot of stories. It's not Ian. Tell a lot of stories, though. There was this guy, this kid in yeshiva, he hated Minyan. Maybe like some guys you might know here. He hated Minyan. He never went. But the Mashkiach used to give like real, real fire at Shalosh Shonos. Like, you didn't want to miss it. It'd be like if Harel got up and started like talking to us. That would be like must-see TV. Like, you can't miss that. You got to be there for Harel. And he always came to the Shmooze. He never, ever missed the Shmooze. And no matter what, he wouldn't miss his shmooze. And he's like, one time, he's like talking about Shacharis, how important it is, and everyone has to do it. And he's like, finally got to that guy. He's going to show up to Minyan the next day. And then he didn't show up. And he couldn't believe it. And he goes over to the guy, and he asks him, I saw you yesterday. You know, this is like back when people could get inspired. Now it's very hard. We live in a generation it's super hard to get inspired. But it used to be people could focus, people could concentrate, people could like, were cognizant of what was going on in the world and could really get inspired. Like, I saw you. I thought you were lighting off. You were on fire. Like, I finally got it. You were going to show up to Minyan. It's like, Rabbi, it's true. It's true. You said the right words. You had me inspired. It's like, so what happened? It rained. Not walking in the rain, mud, having to go over this. Like, who wants to deal with that? Like, you know, we forget about like what it's like to not. This is like ridiculous. This weather is like out of control. And what people like to say is, you may not remember from last year, it wasn't 75 every day in the end of December last year. The weather's like out of control. But you're like, yeah, I'm not going to go in the rain. And the Mashkiach gets up and says, I would have you crawl on my back. I would go on the ground in the rain, have you crawl on my back so you wouldn't miss Minyan. That was also back when Rabbanim had no gaiva, and they would do everything for Talmidim. You know, in all ways, the world has totally, totally changed. And when that guy heard that, you know what he became? Young Israel Woodmere, Baal Bas. He never missed another Minyan in his life. Never. I think he went 45 years. He didn't miss a Minyan because it finally clicked into his head. So we need for inspiration. I know, stupid contest, going to the Minyan, 44 Minyan, stupid. He never, ever, ever missed another Minyan because he realized, wow, this is what it's all about. I have to do it. Number one, most important thing. You leave yeshiva, you gotta go to Minyanim three times a day, because once you're not doing that, everything is gonna slip on. It's gonna slip down, and it's so easy to justify. I daven so much better at home. You know, like COVID, it was incredible. Like, I had so much kavana. I'm like, yeah, dude, what happened on day two? Forget about day two, day one. I had so much kavana. No. Excuses. Like davening outside, walking out. And I love it. I walk outside for Pesukei Zimra every single day. The rare days when it is raining in the morning, I'm like so depressed when I have to be in shul. I get it. You want the surroundings. You want to see the outdoors. I get it. Give all the excuses in the world. You got to go to Minyan. It can't be. There's nothing to talk about. The program they do in yeshiva, which I really, really like and I really speak to, it may be because I'm like dreading tomorrow. Like, I'm like getting like a ready, like anxiety about still being here at 11. And like getting to bed like 11:15, like that's like giving me like real anxiety. But waking up early on in the morning, that's not like something that gets me like so nervous. I happen to think Kol HaBoker is like an incredible, incredible, incredible program. You're all going to go on to different places. If you're going to college, if you're going to YU, you're going to yeshiva environment. It's obviously less important. They put in a schedule that's conducive for success and conducive for growth. But like over Banas Banim, over vacation time, like building it around Minyan, going to Minyan, learning that I could get to davening before. First off, you'll end up making Leiva Torah look good, because when your friends from quote unquote yeshiva come with their white shirt and their vape and everything else that they're doing, and they show up to 9 o'clock Shacharis and 9:40 and Sotzman Krishma with a half hour before, and they look like a bunch of idiots, you're not going to look like the idiot because you got there early and decided you were going to learn before. But it also, by getting to Shacharis early, or Mincha Marav early, it's also guaranteeing that you're going to end up going to the Minyan. So building davening around learning, that's a big Rabbi Hartstein for it. He's like, more in he's in the business world. He gets it. But building those two together, super, super, super important. That's davening. Minyan. Very, very, very important. It's got to be a part of your day. If you're not doing it yet, okay. What can I tell you? You should do it. You should do it. Yeah. Anything else? Anything to add? Who has an ad? If we gave out money and sparring for every time a person went to Minyan, I would go to Minyan early. All right. Number one. Number two. Learning. 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 My chavrusa for many, many years from Eitan Mishkov. He's not a rub, but we'll call him rub. When he was in Shalavim, his Rebbe gets up and asks the following question. I don't even want to know what would happen if that question was asked, like to most of like the Shanal Shirim. But okay, his Rebbe gets up and asks, when you guys are older, when you leave yeshiva and you're working, that's a value. Having a job is a value. Also, not for now, learning post-college before you start working is a really, really good thing. Even if your parents try to tell you not to do it, even if the world tries to tell you not to do it, it's a really, really good thing, and you shouldn't feel down upon yourself, and it should be something that should be encouraged, and you'll have plenty of time to work. If you want to be a doctor, you have a simple thing. Don't become a doctor. It's a lot of years. If you really are passionate for it, you should be it. If you're in it for the money, there's a lot better ways to make the money, but extra time of learning, very, very important. So Eitan Mishko is in Shalvim. His Rebbe comes in to shir one day. Maybe he thought he was too sticky, so he decided to ask this question. He's like, when you guys are older, how much time do you plan to learn every single day? And they're getting all kinds of crazy answers. This guy's like, well, if I wake up at 4 and on the train, I carry the 1, 12 hours, 8 hours, 5.5 hours, 3 hours. And Eitan says 1 hour. Now you're probably thinking, okay, you learned with the worst guy in Shalavim. Like, why didn't you get like a better guy from Shalavim to learn with? And his Rebbe comes out like, you all gave absurd answers. You're all off your rocker. You're all lunatics. Except for this guy. Except for Eitan, who said 1 hour. Okay. Like, why? Why does he say that? Doesn't mean you shouldn't shoot for more. Always like the serious guy. They're like, no, 1 hour, nothing. Why? And it's definitely capable of doing more than 1 hour. Because once you start having these like estimates and these times, I'm going to learn 5 to 8, 10 hours, and you start doing that, you then realize, well, yeah, it's all nice to say that, except I haven't factored in, I have a job, I have a wife, Mirtz Hashem, I have children in Mirtz Hashem, I have communal responsibilities, Mirtz Hashem, like all those stuff, and now you're trying to figure out how to have that time. So you end up being like, I can't do 5 hours. And a lot of times we're very into like, baseball is like really like exemplify this of being all or nothing people. Home runners, strikeouts. That's like you watch a game. Like that's all you see. Guys, I'll hit 220 with 47 homers and 355 strikeouts. It's like ridiculous. No contact. No, nothing in life. Everything is getting dumbed down. But what I try to do, I'm going to be like, if I can't do 5 hours, better I do no hours as opposed to doing 5 hours. But when you have realistic expectations, like 1 hour, that's a realistic thing. A half hour before Shacharis, a half hour after Maariv, I start having that. Of course you can do more. And of course it's great if you do more. And of course we're going to look at DBC and Shas. We're all going to be inspired when he's telling us he's learning 3-4 hours every day. Of course we're all going to be like jumping up for Torah Hashem Tamima on that. But we also have to be realistic. We have to know. Can I mention Rav Tadal? That's a sore topic? For me it's sore.
Sore.
I'm going to cry also. Ethan, Gabi. Anyone else leaving, Jared? Okay, fine. Still.
Benin left.
What? Benin. He left like October. That's what it feels like. I asked Rav Tadal several years ago. This is definitely something I said in Rapalski Yoshir, because I say this all the time. I asked him several years ago, How many guys do you think have gone to Leva Torah that have learned every single day since they left Leva Torah? And usually, I was like much more, he was much more optimistic than I was about Klal in life. So I thought the number was much higher because I basically thought anyone who's like Brum has probably done that. He was not holding in that camp, and he had very, very few people. I really, really firmly believe as you leave yeshiva, I mean, it's ready to be happening now. You should never, ever have a day, even if you're doing Leva Chayal, and you think, we're not talking about 25 hours a day, learning two Mishnahs a day, get on Gitz Tarigan's WhatsApp group, or this person's group, like, and they also make it so easy. It used to be like, oh, Daf Yomi, of course I could do Daf Yomi, everyone gives a shir, it's an hour. So now it's like, how can I do quicker than 12 minutes and do it on 2.0 speed? We're talking about 6 minutes a day. You're talking 36 minutes a week, and you're going through Shas, and on Shabbos you read the art school in 4.5 minutes. 40 minutes a week, you went through 7 daf. You know, of course, you know, it's so easy. So you could probably get like, I don't know, 90 seconds, maybe even less, 2 mishnayos a day. We're not talking about that much. We're not even talking about crazy hasmada here. We're just talking about like having like somewhat of a pulse. But to have a day where we're not learning Torah, it all, you know, every, I don't want to, you know, when I was Shana Aleph in Leva Torah, Parshas Bamidbar, Boaz gets up, he says, look to your right, look to your left, and someone in this room will intermarry. That's what he said. You know, it used to be, now you're all thinking like, wait, that guy who sits in the front? That guy? He got up and said that? No way! We're talking about a different Boaz. Very different. We said whatever we needed to say back then. Everything was okay. And he wasn't wrong. He wasn't wrong. There was someone in that room who intermarried. So I'm not going to go that far. I will say, though, there will be people, I don't want to say, God forbid, but it is possible there's someone in this room who will not have the same commitment and on a much, much less level. Can't be my Kodesh Kadashim, though. Who will have a much less commitment to a Kaddish Baruch Hu than they have today. And it's not going to be that you're going to get back whenever you're going to get back, and all of a sudden you're going to be like, you know, I once dated a girl, and on the date she told me, she's the only girl I think I dated who like really flipped out. She really flipped out. She's like, you know, I went to seminary. You can't wear pants and short skirts to seminary. That's a rule. It's like, made sense to me. I left it in my room, and I'm like, okay. I said to like on August whatever, I'll see you in June. I'm coming back to you in June. Okay, she probably like burned it because she's like ultra Haredi. But like, it's not going to happen that you're going to get back, and all of a sudden you get to that point. It all evolves, and it all starts a little bit. We start having one day. No, I can't learn today. Why can't you learn today? Oh, you know, I had to get to that 10th hour of Fortnite. I had to get to that 10th hour of Ichbeis, whatever it was that I had to get to. And just on and on. You know, okay, if you're like Gabi, who's like, you know, taking that bio test, and if he fails, like his whole life is over. And then like, God forbid, he'll have to go into finance. Like, God forbid that might happen. Can you imagine what his parents will say? You know, they'll get from Providence to YU so quickly to have that conversation and change that narrative in a heartbeat. Can you imagine that? But it's not going to happen. It's going to be, okay, fine, you're super busy. Even that's a really bad excuse, but we could get that. But how often are we super busy? Like, what are we doing? So to have a day, if you start having those days, it goes from worse to worse to worse to worse. And we 100% have to avoid that. When I was at the end of my Shanaf, I met with Requalasser. We had a conversation. I don't know how many of you have relation with Requalasser, so this might also come as a shock, the conversation. Requalasser sits down with me. I had very little to do with him, but I thought he was one of the best storytellers and entertaining people I'd ever met in my life. So he met with me to discuss goals. He wanted to discuss goals. As I tell Shana Aleph guys, you have to know what your goals are and know if you're having success. If I don't know what a goal is, I have no idea if I'm accomplishing anything. Because if I'm not setting out to do anything, okay, I guess I'm doing okay. I mean, I don't have anything to set a bar on. So you have to have goals. So he set these goals with me. I guess I was 19 at the time, 18, 19. He's like, by 30, you'll finish Shas 2 times. Yerushalmi once. I don't think I've ever opened up Yerushalmi. He's like, Rambam, Shulchan Aruch, Tanakh like 12 times, and on and on and on and on and on. Okay. I, I had finished Shas once. I don't know if any of the other stuff that we went through I had done. But it was so, so important. Because when he did that, he was showing me that there's capabilities. There's potential. I'm setting out a map of what it is that I want to do. Noach Nirenberg, he wants to do the Kol and Leva Torah one day, but he also wants to finish Shas before he does the Kol, and he's trying to figure out how to do it. He may be successful, he may not be successful, but he has a goal. He has something that he's trying to do. It's not just, let's just go through life and whatever will happen will happen. Oh, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Okay, I'm not going to do Bikias anymore. That's a big thing I pick on people who live Bikias. I'm not going to do Bikias anymore. What are you going to do instead? I don't know. I'll figure it out. I'm going to do X, I'm going to do Y. What are you doing? Well, I'm not doing really anything. So that's a massive, massive problem. We have to have goals in life. We have to set aside what it is that we want to do. I have, in many of my Gemaras, I wish I had written the date. I mean, the year. I did write the date. But I'll feel like throughout, like, Prakim and Masechta, I wanted to finish at such and such time. I don't know if I was successful or not, because I don't always write down when I finish. So it's hard to know if I reach the goal. But I always believed in that. You have to have goals. You have to set, and you don't have to always reach them. Like, it is depressing. Every Erev Rosh Hashanah, I look at, like, my previous year's goals, and I'm like, okay, this sounds good, and this not so much, and it's depressing. It's hard. We always want to be successful. Who wants to not be successful? Is there any, you know, sometimes we think, oh, I wish I could be that guy just playing Xbox all day in the dorms. But then, like, you think to yourself, I don't know if any of you are those people who play Xbox in your dorms all day, but then you think to yourself, those guys are so depressed because they realize, like, what am I doing here? Like, we're paying money for me to be here. Like, I can play Xbox at home for no money. Like, that would be free. I'm paying to be here to play Xbox. It's, like, super, super, it's super depressing. You know, whatever. So very, very important. We have to have goals, even if you don't reach them. It's hard. It's hard when you see you don't reach them. But it's better than not having anything, because if you have nothing, you'll look at the end of the year like, you know, I did, like, I don't know, I like, opened up the Gemara. That's, like, an accomplishment. I didn't do any words, but, like, you know, my muscles got a little stronger because I did a turn. Very, very, very important. There has to be, and hopefully bigger than that. If you're going to YU, I think that's still a thing. This is unfortunately not a thing in Leva Torah. For good reason, it would not be successful. Although, we got to give Yoav a lot of props because he did finish the Yeshiva's Masechta last year on the infamous Siyum day with Gabi, him, and third guy. It was 100% a third guy. And that night did not end.
What?
Who? The end of the year, no. When Yoav and Gabi made their Siyums.
I did one.
Didn't Adarim. Who did the other Siyum? There was 100, maybe with Aiden. There was 100% a third Siyum that night. I think it was Aiden because I'm thinking that's why I was there. No disrespect. But I did say for all. No, I think it was. I think my brother was there for you and Yoav. All right. Yoav finished Yeshiva in the Sefta. I'm talking about the night where the Siyums just didn't end and I really thought I was never getting to bed.
You didn't stay for mine?
I stayed for all three. It didn't end. I stayed for the title also, I think. That night Mamash didn't end. But in any event, it's very, very important, wherever you are, to finish the Yeshiva's Masechta. That's like a real, real... Now, sometimes it is very hard. There's this guy, Moshe Shulman, I was in YU. He was an Eloy amongst Eloys. He was, when he was early admissions, for those that don't know, early admissions was when you don't do 12th grade and you go straight to college. He was in Rosh Shulman Shir, who was his uncle. Rosh Hashanah was a very, very high level shir. There were massive, massive Talmidei Chachamim in there. And he was blowing them out of the water. And these were guys who were like 7, 8 years older than him. And he was a 12th grader. So one day, when YU did Yevamos, I saw he wasn't on the list of people who finished Masechta. I'm like to Moshe, I know that's a mistake. There's no way. I'm not being makabel for 1 second you didn't finish Yevamos. Probably you didn't put your name on the list because you haven't done every Rishon on it. It's like, no, that's not what happened. They made a mistake. They didn't put me on. I'm like, okay, I knew you had to do it. Very important, very important. Finish Yeshiva Masechta. For those of you that are doing brachos this year that's not going to finish, finish brachos. You should be finishing a Masechta every single year. It's not a crazy, crazy ass, but having that and getting and instilling the kias. I'm all for Ian. I'm not really all for Ian, but I'm in theory all for Ian in yeshivas. Ian doesn't really work long term because, one, you're not going to find the chavrusa when you're older. Two, you're not going to have patience to do it. And three, you're going to feel nothing when you're not covering ground as you get older. But it's definitely important doing yeshiva. You should expand your mind. But making sure to learn bekiyas, to learn a yeshiva mesechta, super, super important. And the last thing we'll just discuss on this is just on the point of when, let's say, one is spending 10 hours watching things. So I had one summer, I learned in Lander College, and I did a summer class in Queens College. And one day, I don't know how it ended up happening, but I was home at some point. Maybe it was before that. I was home for some point. I was very into the show Lost. They show they're like impossible because every episode is like already leading on to the next episode. It's impossible to stop. But I made a nether with myself, a blue nether, right? With that summer. No matter how many episodes I watch, I must make sure I do that amount of daffin during the day. And there's like one day. So usually, like, I was like intelligent. Like, you watch one, maybe two, because, you know, otherwise you're getting yourself into trouble. And there's like one day I just couldn't stop. And I got to like five episodes. And I'm like, this is going to be a tough night. Rishamai has a maisa, he says, over. When he came back, Shana Aleph, he went out with a few friends to a pizza store. And like at the end of the meal, they didn't bench, but he did bench. He has no idea why he benched. He mamash has no clue. He's like, I could have just not benched. Like, it didn't make sense that I benched. I'm like, I just felt like it was the right thing to do. And they were like making fun of me. And he's like, there's no way I would be the person I was today if not for that. So that day when I did five daffin, whatever mesechta I was doing, because I had decided to watch 5 hours of Lost, probably with commercials, and we're talking about like 5 hours. Not like nowadays on 2.0 speed at like 35-minute episodes. So like, you know, like you end up like negative watching. Like, no, that was like 5 hours of watching and having to do five daffin. Like, there's no way I'd have my commitment to learning. But like at that point, I was like, I'm all for the gashmias. Gashmias isn't necessarily a bad thing, but you can't be a life of a kula of gashmias. Your gashmias has to have, your ruchmias has to also come. And there's times when, like, you know, that night, like, when my mom's like, why is the light still on at 1 in the morning? Like, you make bad decisions. You have to, sometimes you have to deal with the repercussions. And that means very, very late nights. And I'm sure the next day at Shacharis, I was very, very grumpy. My wife's uncle, one of the most inspiring people I've ever met, he's a dentist in his own private practice. When you're a dentist, you know, like, if I decide I want to take off this week from Leva Torah, so I'll get my paycheck at the end of the month, I'll lose vacation days, and I'll get paid. Okay, I have vacation days. Not so bad. When a dentist takes off time, that means they're not making any money, because I only make money if I see you. So if I'm not in the office, I'm not making money. So every year on Thanksgiving week, he comes here for the Mir's Yarchei Kala. He takes a bus, he goes to the Mir for the morning, afternoon, and then comes back at night. So he has like one day generally where we could see him. So it was like, sometimes you have these like relatives, like, you really don't want to see, like, it's awkward, what are you going to talk about? But he's like incredible. Like, it's never awkward. It's an amazing conversation. He could talk to men, he could talk to women, he could talk to children. Like, a lot, like, not everyone could do that. Not everyone could talk to all types of people. Really, really amazing. Not in like an inappropriate way. Sometimes you'll be talking to someone, like, they'll just look at my wife's just there, and they're not going to say a word, and then like, she's like, can I just leave? Like, it's awkward.
And it's her uncle.
No, correct, but he's very firm, so like, I don't know. But he tells me a vort that he says the Gemara in Shabbos talks about one of the questions Hashem's going to ask you when you die is, did you set aside time to learn Torah? And one of the pshats of that is, it doesn't mean that you spend time learning every single day, although that is what it means. But he gives a different definition. When it says that you kovei itim, it doesn't mean like, okay, I always like, During Siddharim, like, the yeshiva's rule, I have to be here during Siddharim, okay? Or you deal with, in theory, you deal with the consequence. But okay, I have to be here during the time. There's a time that you have to be here. What he said was, when he says kovei itim, so that I'm always going to do, because I have to do. But when do I steal time? When do I take, I may have said this also, this was like what I was going to say like a month and a half ago, and I was supposed to be here, and then I kept getting moved off. Did I steal time? What time did I steal? So if I say 10 o'clock every night, I'm done. And I was telling someone, there's a good reason. You know, in Leva Torah, not so much today, but more so, usually during the afternoon break, it's pretty solid in Leva Torah compared to other yeshivas. I know that might sound like, no, you're not right. Like, I've been to other yeshivas in the afternoon, like, there's not a person there. There's not one person in the afternoon. So it's pretty strong. So, what? No, so but meaning that that's why it's not so late learning in Leva Torah, because if let's say you get there like 7:30, 7:40, you're there all day till 10, you're pretty tired. Like I totally get that. My brother told me when he was in yeshiva, his 2 years in Mivaseret, he said like every day he'd like, I don't know, lunch would be at like 1, he'd run up, get food, eat it on his way back to his dorm, and he took a nap every day for like 2 years. And then, like, woke up for afternoons here. He didn't wake up at, like, 6. But he took a nap every single day but if you're not doing that, if you're not taking a nap, like, it's hard to stay till midnight if you're there. I totally get that. But let's say at 10 o'clock you leave every single night. And you do whatever. Some things might be mutter, some things might be usher, some things might be, like, you know, sort of in between of, like, just not really anything. They're parv.
Rishos,
okay. But then you decide, I'm going to stay in the base matter from 10 to 10:30. I never do that. Says my uncle, that's koveitim. Because now I'm still in time. That's time that I do. And alachas kamakam, if you're going to do things that are really bad, even more, how much better is it now I've turned that into Torah? But even I'm going to do whatever. I've turned that into time that I would otherwise not do anything. That's what's being koveitim. And it's so important. The maila, the idea of being able to steal time is so tremendously valuable. Like, we don't really appreciate time, but we're gonna be real here. Hopefully a long time for each of you. But we're all gonna die at some point. It's gonna happen. The day is gonna come, and we're all gonna die. We only have so many minutes, so many hours, so many months, so many years on this world. So every, you know, it's not like in Sefer Bereishis when you're like, okay, I'm into Shach. Like, okay, if the guy wanted to take like a 200 year vacation, guy with 969 years, like take 200 years off, fine. I get that. But like, if you're going to live to be, let's say 80, 90, even 100, whatever it's going to be, that's not such a crazy amount of time. Every moment really matters. So when we have opportunity that we're going to do whatever, and we shift the narrative, and we're like, no, I'm not going to do whatever. I'm going to do something of Kedusha. I'm going to push myself. I'm going to set aside time. I'm going to learn extra. You've really stolen time. It's really everything. We'll share just a few mysim about that. We'll work our way down of levels of greatness. Rav Nevinsel, Rabbi Hakotel, the Tivarie, Rabbi the Old City, he makes a Siyam Shas every year. So he made a Siyam Shas. A few weeks later, he tells one of the Chevraman, go get me a minyan. I'm making a Siyam Shas today. Like, oh gosh. Oh man, I'm going to get old. I'm going to get senile. Rav Nevinsel, you just made a Siyam Shas. He's like, I know. My brain's still with it. Go get a Chevra and make a Siyam Shas. I'll explain there. That's okay. So the Chevra comes, and Rav Nevinsel's got the whole Ilum, and he tells them, it's true. I made a Siyam Shas like a month ago. But this Siyam Shas is the most special Siyam Shas I'm making in my life. This one took me 23 years. They're all like, oh, he probably really learned the Ian. Like, a guy, you can spend your whole life down testing Subas. Six fake. Like, you spent your whole life on that. He must have spent, he spent a lot of time learning. And Hernandez was like, you know what happens during my day? I go to, like, the pizza store. Like, my biggest business. You can't have bits and errors. It's great. But, like, I don't know. You go to the pizza store. Can I get 2 slices? Yeah. Comment that code. Chamesh Yisrei. I'm like, Yesham. Pizza sham. It's a full pie. I can't cut up the pie, but I want the 2 slices. Like, and also, why are you not ready for business? Like, you don't go to a place in America, now they're like, oh, we have customers, now let's start making the food. It's not like a shawarma. You're not going to have shawarmas in advance, but like, okay, whatever. So Neville's waiting for his pizza, and you know, he also gets it. It takes 15 minutes to get the slice, even though the pizza's right there. And he cracked open a Gemara. And he's waiting at a wedding for it to start. And he's waiting for whatever. Every available moment he had that like we all have in our day that we could crack open. We could crack open a Mishnah. We could crack open a Mishnah Berurah. Whatever it is that we could do. He opened up a Gemara. And 23 years later, he finished Shas through all those moments. Because all that time coming together was able to equal up to something unbelievable. But the power of stealing time. The power of every moment really mattering. Rav Ari Zatz. He's the assistant, associate, whatever they call it. It's Rabbi Menei Yeshurun. He's also, I don't know if he's a Rosh Yeshiva. You know who he is? I don't know if he's a Rosh Yeshiva in YU. I don't know if you give YP Shirim, now you're Rosh Yeshiva. In my day, it was much easier. If you give a YP Shirim, you're automatically a Rosh Yeshiva. Now it's not quite as simple. I don't know. Whatever he is in YU. When he went to Moresh HaKolel, you guys are very blessed. especially days that Rabboz davens with us, because he had a fast moon esrei. But in some places you go to, it's not like on Mikubal, that like it's like 12 minutes till the Rosh Hashiva finishes, and that's a long time to wait. Even if you daven like Ari Slotnik, that's a long time to wait. Or Ethan Kaplan, it's a long time to wait. And Rabbi Zazi and Moresh HaKol, and davening there took a long time. And, you know, he wasn't really so into the mood of, like, just being like, oh, I'll just make my Shon Esrei 10 minutes and, like, just, like, you know, have less kavanah for the sake of, like, so he opened up Moed Katan every day, Shachar, Mincha, and Maariv, waiting for Chazaras HaShas and Kedusha. And at the end of the summer, he made a siyum on Moed Katan from all the times before, obviously, he didn't learn during Chazaras HaShas. That's the favorite answer in the Mishnah Berurah. So, obviously, he didn't do that. But all the time, it's totally mutter. When, what do? What can I look at on my phone? What can, you know, the people saying to Tehillim, that's good. But like, what others are, you look around, like there could be, there's 50 phones down. Now here, you don't really have so much time. But like, if you go to a place where you could have a lot of time, how much we can accomplish. Unbelievable. To finish it. Now, I get it. He learns on a much higher level than Shanav and Shanabed, guys, the way of Torah. I get that. I'm not downplaying that thought. But even if in a year, You finished two daf during that time, as opposed to whatever Instagram, TikTok, whatever else people are looking at. Like, some of the stuff I see on people's phone, like, the makom of dying for mincha is like, nolly, molly, rolly, like, you know, I'm ready to show you my picture. Like, what the hell is going on here? Like, it's ridiculous. Like, you know, and like, looking at that, or now they've all actually went home because of the war. These guys are playing jumping games before, like, oh my gosh, Shem Yerachim to the highest degree. But how much we could actually accomplish during this month? How much we could actually accomplish? And finally, with myself, when I was in YU, I was telling someone today, I was not.
I thought you said we're going down.
We are. Oh no, very much down, very much down. I was telling someone today, like, you know, I'm like a clown. I was a clown back then, but people really learned back when I was in like YU. Like, it really was like people learning 3-4 hour night series like was really common. Was really, really common. Now, in like from Jake's time, like everyone learned 4 or 5 hours because they had no work in YU, and YU was the biggest joke school. In my time, it already got more difficult, and now it's gotten even harder. But it used to be, it was like really, really easy, and everyone learned a ton. But I wasn't like so serious. But yeah, I don't know, like who didn't learn 4 hours? Like, you know, it was like I couldn't do that today. Like, I can't do anything for 4 hours. Like, I have no idea how I did it back then. But like, whatever, you know, people were able to do stuff. Like, it's definitely. Generations have gone down, but when I first started YU, I was like pretty gung ho, you know, and I'm like very into it at the beginning. Come on time, don't leave early. I get that from I went to ask my dad. It's a lach. Like, if you come late to shachris, what are you supposed to say? Like, how are you supposed to do davening? So I asked my dad, like, what do you do if you come late? He's like, I don't know. I've never come late. Flex that muscle, man. Sick. So like, you know, whatever. I'm all for it. I'm all for, you know, coming. So nice air started at 8. And I had no intention of, like, getting there before 8, like, be ready to learn at 8, and I thought that was great. And I would go, like, every night. I think I didn't have that my first semester. I didn't have a class from, like, 6:45 to 8. So every night, I would go on Baseball Reference. And I was like, you couldn't imagine how much I was holding in Barry Bonds. Like, OPS, like, this is, like, before, like, as all these stuff were getting real, I'm like, yeah, you asked me with OPS Plus, I got that in my back pocket. And I was analytics before it was analytics. And like everything. And then one day, like after midterm, like there's the Kufas in YU where you have no work, and then people can learn. So like after midterm, so finals, you got nothing. Like, what are you gonna have? Like, you know, you just had all your midterms. So I'm like, I asked myself, what do you think is gonna happen if I get the night seat early? I don't know. You think I'll die? Take the chance. If I die, okay, fine. It's a good way to go out. I'm like, why don't I see what's gonna happen? Why don't I take the gamble and see what's gonna be? You know, do I really need to do Baseball Reference? Okay, if like, you know, I'm going to like Soup Kitchen, the Washington Heights, and like, you know, feeding, you know, the locals, you know, okay, fine. Maybe there's what to say. I'm doing something useful, but Baseball Reference, I need to do that. And I decide on that day, okay, I'm going to do it. And I get there at 7 o'clock or whatever it was. And I start learning, like, I just feel like absolute fire. And then what happens is, like, now once you open your eyes, I don't have to only do 8 to 10. Like, why did I see what's going on after 10 o'clock in YU? Like, maybe, like, I just figured everyone leaves at 10. Like, they have the same, you know, equation as me. You learn till 10, you daven Maariv, and then you go back and do whatever. And then after 10, like, you see, whoa! There's, like, a whole island of guys here that, like, you know, like, now when I start dating, like, I can just say I went to Shalavim, like, I'll get married. Like, you know, it's going to be great. And I, you know, not all of us were prepared. Some of us had to think, you know, whatever. We weren't all prepared. Some of us had to do our Shut up. Some of us had. I'm kidding. Some of us had to do our shtadlus in life, and I see a whole different world. No, it's all good. I'm just kidding. Keep your word. I see a whole different olam of people appeal. Guys, it's really okay. Yeah, I see a whole different olam of people that are there, and it totally shifted and changed my whole outlook. So, as you're gonna leave yeshiva, We're concluding now. As you're gonna leave yeshiva. Three things, because we don't want. I'm not rabbis. I'm not proclaiming anyone's gonna marry. You know, not of our people. I'm not proclaiming that. Better the Shem, that won't be the case. And hopefully, everyone's gonna. Hopefully, what I'm seeing in this room now, I won't even recognize in 10 years from now, because you'll all be on such higher levels. Better the Shem. But no one's gonna just drop on one minute, because it's gonna be everything falling together that's gonna cause it. Three things. Minyan. Setting aside time that I'm learning every day. And then even on top of my learning every day, I'm finding extra time. I'm stealing time during the course of my day that I'm not just saying to myself, I'm a person, oh, I learned during this time. But no. And even if you're not going to do that, maybe the best practice you could do just to really see what you're doing with your life, you take out your phone. I have a Shanaf guy that's doing it. He needs breaks during the day. I'm like, that's great. Take breaks. Every time you take a break, stop watching your phone. See how much time you're taking in breaks during the week. Because otherwise, you have no idea what you're doing. So take out your phone. See how much time you're quote-unquote, you're wasting or doing nothing. Whatever it is. And then replace that with, instead of those 10 minutes, even though, unbelievable, it's only 10 minutes. Instead of those 10 minutes, I turn that into 10 minutes of Torah every day. And there's no way you're not all B'nai Aliyah, that you're not all growing, if during every single day you're finding time, and especially if you're in the army, even more, that you're finding those like minutes when you're absolutely exhausted. Now, obviously, if like you're on Shemirah and it would be dangerous, that would be pretty stupid, so don't be stupid. But like you find that time before you go to bed, if you're absolutely exhausted, and you whip out Yitz Tarigan, and you listen to whatever he has to say, and you go through a couple of Mishnayos, or you whip out Shnayim Mikra. You're not even here. You whip out Shnayim Mikra. God is. You whip out Shnayim Mikra. Unbelievable. You're not going to recognize yourself, because you're gonna be the greatest version of yourself, because you found those moments during the course of the day where you're able to steal time. You should all have unbelievable aslacha and continue to do great things.